I just want to expound on what God has expounded on my heart this week, what He's poured out on my heart in a mighty way, and I want to give it to you this morning. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 39. I just want us to get today to walk through the book of Matthew here for just a little while. I want us just to walk on the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to walk and just see where God would have us to go this morning. And I want to show you something this morning that God has showed me in the Scripture, and I want to give it to you this morning, and this is it. Jesus went a little farther. He went a little farther. He don't only reside in this place, but He resides anywhere He chooses to be. The psalmist said, though I make my bed in hell, you are there. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? Psalm 139 said you can't get away from God. God's everywhere. He is the Creator this morning. And He is everywhere and in every place this morning. But I want to tell you one place that He wants to go a little farther that you'll allow nobody else to go to. He wants to go so far that He gets in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Even though He's the Creator of the universe, there's only one place He cannot go unless you allow Him to go there, and that is to the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl. This morning I want you to know He has the free rein to go anywhere He wants to, but He will not come into your heart unless you ask Him in. Until you invite Him into that place, He will not take up His residency in your heart. This morning I want to lead you where God went for us this week, where He's went for us for eternity to be. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 26. In verse number 39, Jesus went a little farther. Matthew 26, 39, the Bible says, and He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as I bow in Your presence this morning, I am so humble. Father God, to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I know right now that I'm in over my head. Lord God, I know that I'm in over my head this morning. And Lord, I would ask You to do the preaching this morning as only You would. Lord, I would ask You to a congregation like this to speak to every individual's heart this morning in a mighty way. Lord, this morning they may have a grave that needs to be turned into a garden. Lord God, they may have storms in their life that needs to be calmed. And I ask You in the name of Jesus to calm them storms this morning. Father, I would pray this morning when the sound goes out. Father, I would pray this morning that this congregation would get a better understanding of who You are. I would pray that they would get a better understanding of who Jesus is this morning. And Father, I would pray that they would get a better understanding of who the Holy Ghost is this morning. Father, we pray this morning that they be a hindering spirit. Lord, we pray You would bind it up and cast it out the back door. Lord God, I would ask You this morning to have Your will and Your way in this place. Lord God, I'm just the clay and You're the potter this morning. Lord God, You know that I'm all over the place this morning. So I would ask You, if You would, to calm my nerves, calm my thoughts. And Lord God, hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord God, I've come not this morning to elevate me, but I've come to elevate You. And Lord God, I pray that I decrease and You increase in this place this morning. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come here this morning, we start out in the Bible in Matthew chapter number 26 in verse number 39. The gospel according to Matthew said that Jesus had went a little farther. He had went a little farther. Brothers and sisters, I would say to you this morning that Jesus went a little farther for one reason. He went a little farther for you and I this morning. He went a little farther because He knew that we had something that needed to be met in our life. The Bible says this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus hung on that cross and he had to die because he was dying for our sin. And the wages of sin is death. But he doesn't stop there, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we come this morning, it said that Jesus went a little farther. I want to take you to four places that he went. I want to take you for a few moments where the Holy Ghost has took me this week. I want to take you to show you where he went just a little farther. Hey, you may be at your wit's end this morning and you say, preacher, I don't know how much farther I can go. Hey, I want to say on the authority of God's word, it doesn't matter how much farther you can go. He went all the way. Can I get an amen? Hey, this morning my salvation does not rely upon who I am or what I am. It lies upon whose I am this morning. I'm a born again believer in Jesus Christ, the one that bled and died and shed his blood on an old rugged cross. This morning I want to show you four places that he went a little further. Number one this morning, if you'll look with me in verse number 36 of Matthew number 26, he says that Jesus went to the garden to pray. Look what he said here. And then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, will you put my clip up for me if you don't mind? And then he said unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. If I could give you one thing this morning, hey, Jesus went a little further. He went to the garden to pray. And you say, preacher, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, what was he praying? Or who was he praying for? We read in this text that when he went to the garden, he prayed with agony. And when he went to this garden, he prayed. He was in pain. He had heartache when he went to that place. It said that he prayed so hard that his sweat dropped as great drops of blood. Friends, this morning, that prayer that he was praying, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done in their lives. Hey, this morning, I want you to know he wants his will to be done in your life this morning. He prayed for you when he was in that garden. It said that he prayed with agony. Hey, he prayed with sorrow. Look what he said here in verse 38. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He told his disciples, he said, not only am I praying with agony, but I'm praying with sorrow. Hey, friends, I want you to know when he went to that garden, he was praying for you and I this morning. I want you to know when he went to that garden, he had me on his mind and he had you on his mind. There's never been a time that Jesus Christ hadn't thought about you and he hadn't thought about me. Have you ever thought about how humbling that is, that the Son of God, the Son of Man, the King of glory, the King above all kings, the Lamb of God, the chosen one, the slain one, the resurrected one has me on his mind. I don't know about you, but when trouble comes my way and things don't go my way, hey, I don't look to me, hey, but I look to my nail-scarred Savior this morning because he's the one that prays for me. Can I get an amen? Hey, friends, this morning, there's a lot of people may not pray for you, but on the authority of God's word this morning, I want you to know, when you think nobody's praying for you, there's one praying for you, and his name's Jesus this morning. And he says in the book, he prayed with agony. He prayed with pain and heartache. He prayed with sorrow. He said, would this cup please pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. But we look in the same text, not only did he pray with agony, he prayed with sorrow, but he prayed with suffering in that garden. He suffered in that garden so you and I don't have to suffer in our garden. Folks, I want you to know we've never suffered what God suffered. We've never suffered what Jesus suffered. You say, I feel like my back's against the wall, preacher. Hey, but your back's never been against the cross. Woo! You say, my back's against the wall. You don't know what's going on in my life. I do know this. He died for it on the cross of Calvary. He said he went and prayed. When Jesus went to the garden to pray, he prayed with agony. He prayed with sorrow. He prayed with suffering, but he also prayed with sincerity. You see, when he got to that place, Brother Rocky, he prayed with sincerity. As Wednesday night, when you got in this altar and you started praying with sincerity and you asked God, you said, God, not my will no more in Rocky's life, but your will be done in my life. Friends, I want you to know, when you get to that place and you're not worried about what the crowd thinks and you're not worried about what your buddy thinks, but you're worried about what God Almighty thinks about you, you'll get to that place in your life and you'll pray with pain, you'll pray with sorrow, you'll pray with agony, but you'll pray sincere, saying, Lord God, I want whatever's in my life to be removed, and only walk I want is a walk with you. Friends, I want you to get this morning. Jesus went a little further and he went to the garden to pray for you and I. Amen. He went to that garden to pray for you. He went to that garden to pray for me. I thank God this morning that I have somebody that prays for me. Don't you? Man, he went to that garden to pray. He didn't go there to play. When he went to the garden, he didn't go to play. He went to pray. And this morning, I want you to know when he comes to your heart and he convicts you and you need to get right, he don't come to play. He comes to do business. But I want to get out of the garden for just a moment. I want to go a little further. I want to go a little farther this morning because you might need to go a little farther here in just a moment. He said not only did Jesus went to the garden to pray, but turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 27. Just flip right over to verse number 33. Not only did Jesus go to the garden to pray. Whoo, glory to God. Not only go to the garden to pray, but Jesus went to Golgotha to pay. He didn't only, prayer wasn't enough. You see, this morning, a lost man can pray all he wants to, and it ain't worth nothing. Let me give you this morning. The prayer wasn't enough. He had to go pay. You said, what are you talking about, preacher? They had to be a blood sacrifice. This morning, if any man, woman, boy, or girl is going to make it to heaven, it'll be because the blood's been applied to their life. Because the blood's been applied to their life. It won't be your good works. It won't be your church membership. It won't be because you come to church on Easter Sunday. It'll be because the blood has been applied to your life. He says this morning that he went to the garden to pray, but he went to Golgotha to pay. And you say, what did he pay on that cross? Look with me in Matthew 27 in verse number 33, if you will. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, when he had come to that place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And look in verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his raiments, casting lots. And it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. He said not only did he go to the garden to pray, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he went to Golgotha to pay my sin debt. He went there to pay my sin debt. Get this. He went to Golgotha to pay the price for sin of the whole world. He said, preacher, was there no other way it could be took care of? There was only one way. Jesus done said in John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He was nailed to that old rugged cross. Friends, I want you to know, my sin didn't hang him on that cross. His love for me hung him on that cross. He loved me. There's no man took his life. He laid his life down. He loves me and he loves you this morning. And I thank God this morning that he paid the price for sin of the world with his blood on the cross. Hey, but he paid the penalty for sin for the world with his death on the cross. You see, his body was that payment, but his death was took care of the penalty. For the wages of sin is death. When he died on that cross, I want you to know, he cast sin as far as the east is from the west. There's nobody in this room this morning. You do not have to sit in a sin state. You don't have to sit that way. You know why? Because he has blotted out that sin this morning. You say, how do I get that in my life, preacher? By calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And then he washes your sin as far as the east is from the west. This morning I want to give you this. Jesus went to Golgotha to pay. He paid the price of the sin of the world. He paid the penalty of the sin of the world. But he went to that cross to do the will of the Father. He went to the cross to do the will of the Father, to satisfy the Father. Get this here. John 18, 37. Turn with me there. I want to show you this. John 18, 37. I want to give you this morning. John chapter number 18 in verse number 37. Jesus went just a little farther. He went a little farther for you and I this morning. Man, I don't know about you, but that excites me. I don't know about you, but that excites me. You know what true love is? You can't make somebody love you. You ever thought about that? You can't make somebody love you. You can't. Hey, you can put a leash around their neck. You can lead them around. You can tie them up. You can put them in a pen. You can do whatever you want to do. But that person, that don't mean they're going to love you. As soon as you take the leash off, they're going to leave you. They're going to get gone. But I want you to know this morning, that ain't how Christ does. He has that love laying there. And if he says, if you want to follow me, come. And he loves us so much. Friends, this morning, he loves you and he loves me. That's why he went a little farther. But he says this morning in John chapter number 18, in verse number 37, the Bible says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king to this end." Now here's why he went to the cross. He went there to pay the price and to pay the penalty, but he went to do the Father's will. When he left heaven to come here, he knew what his mission was. He knew what his mission was. I'd pray this morning that I'd get a hold of the mission that God has for me for my life. And my prayer is that you'd get a hold of the mission that God has for you for your life. He knew the mission that God had for his life. He didn't save us to live any way we want to, do what we want to, have a heyday, live it up, and have a good time. He saved us to be a follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says this in John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Everyone that heareth the truth heareth my voice. When you walk out of here this morning, you've heard the truth of Jesus Christ. He said Jesus went to the garden to pray. He went to Golgotha to pay. I thought about this all week long. What about if he just stopped at Golgotha? Paul said it's the death, burial. The death, burial, and the resurrection. You've seen the death. He went and prayed. You've seen the death when he went to Golgotha. Well, what if he had stopped there? What would have happened? Your sin debt would not have been paid in full. You see, there was three hanging on the cross that day, but there's only one that rose from the grave. There was only one had power over death, hell, and the grave, and his name's Jesus Christ this morning. And by the way, if you're living in hell this morning, he has power over that in your life this morning. If everything you got going on in your life is just a wreck and it's shambles and it's all them things, he's got power over that. You don't have to live that way. Man, I'm telling you, the world tells you, you know, you can't get out of bondage, you can't get out of this, but the Bible tells me who the Son sets free is free indeed. But turn with me this morning, if you would, to Matthew 27 and verse number 60. I want to show you this. Jesus went to the garden to pray. He went to Golgotha to pay. But Jesus went to the grave to pardon. To pardon. You know what a pardon is? When you've been set free. When you've been pardoned, you've been set free. There's no more charge to your account. You've been wiped clean, been set free. This morning I'd ask you a question. Has Jesus Christ pardoned you in your life? Have you been set free by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? This morning in Matthew 27, verse number 60, the Bible says, "And laid it in his own new tomb," that being Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, "and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he wrote a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and another Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deceiver,'" he's never deceived nobody, "'we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.'" Hallelujah. "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Matthew 28:1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold," woo, "and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door that set up and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, woo, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." This morning I want you to know Jesus went to the garden to pray, Golgotha to pay, but he went to the grave to pardon. There had to be a burial so they could be a resurrection. Get this, when he buried in that tomb, he buried your sin and he buried my sin. When he was buried in that tomb, he buried your death and he buried my death. When he was buried in that tomb, he buried hell in that tomb. And I want you to get this morning. He buried the grave in that tomb. When he was buried in that tomb, he buried shame in that tomb. Don't let nobody shame you. When he was buried in that tomb, he buried guilt in that tomb. When he was buried in that tomb, he buried forgiveness in that tomb. You say, why, preacher? Because his body was buried in the tomb. Turn with me to Revelation 1:18 this morning. He said he went to the grave to pardon. Revelation 1:18, John the Revelator, he comes here and he's talking about Jesus. He said he was on the Isle of Patmos and he came to this place. And the Spirit of the Lord came and ministered unto him. He said he saw this. Get this. Revelation 1:18. And I'm telling you, they had to be a burial to be a resurrection. When he was buried and he arose again on that third day, that made a way for you and I to have a home in heaven. Yes. Let me stop right there. Death, when you're saved, death, that old man dies. You don't stay dead when you're saved. There's a resurrection. The new man comes forth. He's a new man on town. Hey, I may look the same, but I'm living glorified in Christ Jesus. I want you to know I'm living sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm living by His grace. I'm not living under condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We live under the blood. We live under the sacrifice. We live under the atonement that He paid our price on Calvary's cross. He was buried in that tomb. Anything the world thinks about me, anything that Satan tries to bring to my recollection, anything he brings before the Father, all I have to do is rebuke him in Jesus' name and tell him that old mess has been buried with the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he rose from that grave, he rose as a new man. And Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, read what the book says. Revelation 1:18, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And had the keys of hell and of death. Jesus said, I have the keys. This morning, if you're looking for a door to open in your life, it'll only open because He's the only one who has the key. It won't open by religion. It won't open by baptism. It won't open by church membership. And it will not open by denomination. Woohoo! Glory, hallelujah. He never said Baptist is the way, the truth, and the life. He never said Union Chapel was the way, the truth, and the life. He said Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, this morning, I want you to get this. Not only did he go to the grave to pray. Not only did he go to Golgotha to pay. Not only did he go to the grave to pardon. But I want to show you in the text where he went to glory to present that blood sacrifice. He went to glory to present that blood sacrifice that you and I could have a home in heaven. Turn with me, Will, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 7 this morning. Hebrews chapter number 7. And we'll finish up here. I want to give you this morning, though. Hebrews chapter number 7. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 26. Jesus went to glory to present. No longer do we have a high priest, an earthly high priest. We have a heavenly high priest. And his name is Jesus Christ. He says in Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 26, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. This he did once. When he offered up himself. What did Jesus go to glory to present? He went to glory to present himself. One that was holy, one that was harmless, one that was undefiled, one that was separate from sinners. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. And I love what he says here in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 8:1. Old Detroit terms right here. Now, the things we have just talked about, y'all. Read what he says here, 8:1. For now, what we just got done talking about or chewing the fat on, everything I've been talking about up to this point, let me give you the sum of it. Let me add it up for you. He says, now the things we have spoken, this is the sum, or this is how it adds up. We have such an high priest, here he presents, get it now, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Ain't no longer in the tomb, but at the throne. Woo! A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and no man. He says there that he is seated. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Always making intercession. You know what intercession is? When that accusation comes against you and old Satan tries to blame it up. Do you know what Brother BJ's done this week? And Jesus said, I'm his advocate. The blood's been applied. Do you know what he said this week? The blood's been applied. Do you know what's going on in his life? And Jesus said, the blood's been applied. He said he sat down at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession. To be seated at the right hand of the Father, he said he sat down because his work is done. Jesus Christ is set at the right hand of the Father because his work is done. This morning, if I can tell you anything, if you put your faith, hope, and trust in the man named Jesus Christ, you can have rest in your life to know that the work is finished and the work is done. He doesn't halfway do anything. He does it all the way. You say, preacher, there's nothing perfect about me. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. We're all just old sinners saved by grace. Amen. There's nothing perfect about me, preacher. I beg to differ. So what's perfect? If you're born again, your salvation's perfect. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, your salvation's perfect. He said, reserved in heaven, kept by the power of God. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Jesus went a little farther that you and I would have a way. Well, here's the thing. Just because he went doesn't promise us a home in heaven. It allows us a home in heaven if we'll call on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, this morning I want to ask you a question. Jesus went a little farther. How far have you went with Jesus? How far have you went with Jesus? Preacher, far as I ever went Sunday morning. I'm a Sunday morner. That's about all I can give you. That's about all I can get in. Okay, that's good. But I hate to know he only visited me on Sunday morning. Boy, I'd be a miserable individual this morning if he only visited with me on Sunday morning. He walks with me and talks with me a long, life's narrow way. This morning, I want to ask you this question one more time. How far have you been with Jesus? How far have you been? He went all the way so we could have a way. How far have you allowed Jesus to go in your life? He went to the garden. He went to Golgotha, he went to the grave, and he went to glory. And this morning, he wants to come right where you're at. He wants to sit down in your life this morning and say, hey, the work's been done. The price has been paid. The penalty's been met. There's going to come a day he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But that ain't all the story. There's going to come a day he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How far this morning have you went with Jesus? Let us pray. Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I thank you that you went all the way. Father, I thank you this morning that you're not just a halfway God. Lord God, I thank you this morning when you save an individual, you just don't halfway save them, but you all the way save them. Father, I thank you this morning that you don't halfway bury the old man, but you bury that old man. Father God, I thank you this morning that you don't raise up a half new man, but you raise up a whole new man or woman. Father God, when you raise that individual up, you raise them up in a way that's honoring and pleasing and glorifying to your name. Lord, I don't know what's going on this Easter morning, but you do. You are the risen Savior, and you're set down. Father, I know this morning you're not sitting in heaven wringing your hands over baby Landry. Woo-hoo, glory. Father God, you're not doubting. You're not wringing your hands. You're not worried, not one bit. And Father God, for that lost person that's in here, you're not wringing your hands over them. You've done the work, and you're already inviting them. But just how far will they go? Will they go far enough to come to an altar to repent and ask you to be their Savior? Or will they go as far as going back to the car and going back home? Lord, this morning we're all looking for one thing, and that is well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for the risen Savior. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.